open a cold one, kick back, and enjoy a week's worth of conversation from pop culture, sports, breaking news, and everything in between. Welcome to the Pine Room Podcast. At the beginning of the podcast each week, everyone on the show rolls a 20-sided die. The person who rolls the lowest number then becomes the moderator for that week's show, and it's their job to move the conversation along and switch from various topics or questions that can be found on the moderator's cheat sheet or custom ones they've brought in themselves. If you have a question or a topic you'd like us to discuss, send us an email to contact@thepineroompodcast.com. Well, that's enough of that. Let's get into the show. You're listening to the Pine Room Podcast.
And welcome, party people, to the Pine Room Podcast, episode 111. We are here with Tyler Cooley, Chris Pavlik, Jubber Delbrook, and a guy by the name of Jeff Doyle.
Woo!
Let's go, people.
Jeff, your first time moderating.
I know. Palms were sweaty, all nervous and shit. Jeez.
You're Louise. Good.
No, nah, I'm just joking.
My dad said you would be, we were talking about WWE, if we were all wrestlers and we started like a Pine Room Wrestling League. He said you'd be a manager that would come out, you'd be in a tuxedo with a top hat on, you'd have a big briefcase full of money, and you'd be the guy that haggles. You'd be the guy that is always looking for the next wrestler to have in his corner.
Well, he would be a bad guy, though.
You think he'd be a bad guy?
Yeah, Jeff would just
play the bad incite guy role?
Incite the crowd, like just, you know, like a bad a villain.
He'd be a snake.
Yeah.
He'd be a snake. Yeah. He'd have one guy, and he'd backstab him.
Well, that or, you know, if his wrestler's wrestling another guy, Jeff might hit him with that briefcase.
Chop, he's not looking. Chop the referee in the neck.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, the part about this conversation is the suitcase of money, so if we could please make that happen, that would be absolutely phenomenal.
I guess we could use that in any regard. We don't need to start a wrestling league.
Chris, do you think I'd be a villain or a hero as a wrestler?
Well, let me just say this. I don't know. It's tough to read. I know I'd boo the fuck out of you.
Just like that. Oh, shots fired.
I said he would be like the very cocky, confident guy that people wouldn't like he'd be too confident.
Right. Right.
And people would hate that.
Yeah, because they'd be, oh, yeah, that's a guy that can kill every animal and kill anything that comes at him. And then boo him. And
I'm going out there and I'm body slamming everybody.
And he would be...
Putting Jump to a table, Nick to a table, say, it'd be great.
Oh, no. Wow.
No.
I'm jumping off the top rope.
They'd like you, Jump.
That's what I said. I said I'd be the hero.
He'd be a hero.
So would you rather be the villain first, and then, because you know how Hulk Hogan started off being the good guy, and then he went to the villain. What reverse would you like to do? Would you rather be the bad guy than be the good guy?
I learned that's called the heel, like your heel phase. Yeah. If you turn into a heel, and you're the bad guy.
Right, and you get what you say, you get over. So like if you're catching heat, so everybody, you know, 18,000 are booing you, then you're doing something right.
When you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Yeah.
That's a good point too. Yeah. It's a very good point.
I'd probably want to be a villain that turns good and everybody loves me now. Like I think because the Undertaker, he was like a scary bad guy, and now everybody loves the Undertaker. He's like the hero now.
I was still mad, though, he lost that streak at WrestleMania.
That was so dumb.
When Lesnar
Brock Lesnar
beat him, that was wrong.
Because he didn't have enough invested into WWE at the time.
What, he had like 21 wins in a row?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that. Sucks for him.
Wrestling talk. Always finds a way here on the Pine Room. Always finds a way.
It is crazy how that works, though. I tell you, the whole wrestling thing, like, how do you, like, say, okay, I'm just going to try to go be a WWE wrestler? Mm. Like, what comes into your mindset and go... That's just going to be a really good career move for me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, those dudes are
I know those
guys are athletes, though.
Oh, I mean, for sure they are.
I mean, but then again, you see, I think they have a very strict, like a PED, like a strict drug program.
Well,
now,
cocaine and whiskey.
Now.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it is.
Well, and, you know, you hear those stories about those guys. I mean, you know, they do a show one night, then they get in a car, you know, they rent a car, and then they go 400 miles to the next venue. I mean, I can see how they would.
And you ever see pictures of like guys that are old now that are like all just beat up? That's a problem with that.
Do you guys hands down believe, and obviously we know it's scripted, but do you hands down believe that it is scripted from A to Z?
No, and I think actually that I watched a video and there are some wrestlers that like it scripted out, like Hulk Hogan, I think, liked it scripted out from start to finish, like every move and every blow. I could be wrong in that name, but like The Undertaker, he would like to have a start, ad lib, and then a finish, like a scripted finish. So some of those guys, I think, like to ad lib. but you have to be good.
So yeah. Is the winner defined before then?
I would imagine, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because they and I've seen how that works, because they talk about how, like, so the referee's got a piece in his ear, and then they talk to him, and then they said there's certain, like, signals that you give the wrestlers, like, okay, the next move or two, we got to end this match.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I never knew all this.
It was really
cool. But I did see a video one time, and it was whoever the favorite was, he was – I guess it was designed for him to beat the shit out of this guy. And you know, when you take it, what they call it, a bump. So, you know, if I give you a clothesline, you're going down like I just crushed you. Well, this guy just kept getting back up. He wouldn't sell any of these getting hit. And the guy that was pounding on him ended up actually beating the fuck out of him because he wasn't selling any of the...
Oh, wow.
You know, I think I know what you're talking about.
Like if I body slammed you four straight times, you just jump right back. You have to sell the move.
Mm-hmm. That wasn't Goldberg, was it?
I don't know who it was, but the guy that was the aggressor and doing all the moves, the guy wouldn't take the bump. He would just keep getting back up. And then so that guy got really pissed and just knocked really beat him up.
Yeah, there's a term called giving your receipt. And I think we talked about this on here when we were talking about slang. Mm-hmm. Receipt in wrestling means, like, if Chris and I are going at it and I clothesline you, but I, like, land it too high and I'm like hitting the chin and I actually hit you.
Yeah.
You give me a receipt, meaning you have the go ahead to fuck me up, like to hit me hard. Yeah. And there have been some ones, if you look it up, pause this and go watch it. You just look up wrestlers giving each other receipts, and there are some actual hits, like heavy, hard hits. Brock Lesnar beat the shit out of some guy. Another cool video to watch is call outs. So if you look up WWE call-outs, you can watch, like, John Cena, Batista, all these big guys, like, calling out their next move so that the other guy knows what's coming. So it's like you can tell if there was no crowd, you could definitely be able to pick up.
If you gave me a receipt job, I would hurt you so bad.
Well, no.
I would hit you with the hardest clothesline.
You would have the receipt to give to me, because if I hit you, then you have the receipt on me.
It would be bad.
Yeah.
You would go right through the canvas. It'd be so bad.
But if the truth be told, if they are partying like rock stars like they did night in and night out with their shows and stuff like that, can you imagine how hungover they probably were trying to do that shit, man?
Yeah, that would be awful.
It would be awful. And they were like, I mean, obviously the rumor mills is how much, I mean, I was being facetious about cocaine and whiskey, but from my understanding, there was raging parties.
Yes.
I mean, can
yes.
you imagine the next day trying to get up there in a ring in front of 100,000 people and you're trying to sell shit? And
there's a famous video of one of the Hardy brothers. I think it was Matt Hardy. I think I could
be wrong
with
your
that.
Knowledge right now, Jim, with all this wrestling.
I think it was one of the Hardy brothers. He came and he was just drugged out of his mind. He was on something, and you could tell. And the referee ends. I think it was one of the wrestlers, or the referee ends the match early because he was so out of his mind he was going to get hurt. Mm-hmm. And there's a huge thing about one of the Hardy brothers. I can't remember which one. I think it was Jeff.
So that kind of went off script.
Yeah, he was so out of his mind. Yeah. But
how about back in the day, man? And I don't know if they still do it. I mean, they used to carry, what, razor blades in their little thing and cut themselves. Yeah. Like, that takes a lot of balls,
too,
man.
And when you said that about, you know, being scripted, and you said it, too, about them being athletes, there's – like, you jump off the top rope and like, do a – what is that? Like Jimmy
Frog Smokey. Splash.
Yeah,
Frog Splash. Snooker.
Yeah. Fox Splash. And when Rob Van Dam, that's got to hurt.
Oh, yeah. There's
especially those guys would really – launch themselves up high.
What about off the ladder? Come down off the ladder onto the announcer's table.
Oh, geez.
Or Mankind when he came off the cage.
Oh,
when the Undertaker
threw him.
Yeah.
But it always goes to the Spanish announce table. They always bust their table.
And it always explodes. Like, it always it always has, like, six pieces that go everywhere. There's a an interview with Stone Cold and Mick Foley, and they talk about the hardest hits that he ever had, because Mick Foley just took beatings. He would get thrown in thumbtacks and caught on fire. He got thrown off the ring, and Stone Cold runs him through like 5-10 different scenarios about what hurt the most, and he gave like a big all that stuff hurt him. Like, there were some things that didn't, not as much, but like getting thrown off the ring hurt him.
Well, Jeff, now do you remember when Mankind got tossed off the
ring? I do. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you remember, and this is crazy, and credit to how tough he was and how dedicated he is to wrestling. You know, remember, they kind of wheeled him up on a stretcher or a gurney, whatever, and he gets up, and he comes back down. So remember, he continued, and then he ended up going through the top of the fencing broke.
That was unscripted.
No, hell no, it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't scripted, right?
Yeah, and he
could have broken his neck.
And that he said if he would have rotated any further back, he'd probably have been dead.
And then I think by then it was like, okay, Undertaker, just pin him and get beat
up. And you can watch the video. He goes through that screen, the fence, and they said they just had it tied with zip ties. Yeah. And the Undertaker said you could hear the zip ties just popping as they were walking across it. And when he fell through, there was a table that was up there too, and it fell down as he fell down. And as he fell down,
that was a chair.
And he was looking up, and the chair hit him right in the lip, and it busted his tooth through his lip. It was right under his nose, hanging out of his lip. Lord. And he kept going.
Oh my God.
It was unbelievable.
That was an impressive thing that he did. But I guess if you love the business that much, you're going to do whatever. But,
and I guess him and Hulk Hogan had a lot of beef. They did not like each other because Hulk called, it was like saying that Mick Foley was fat and out of shape.
How do you know all of this?
Well, he wasn't.
I'm kind of impressed with all this knowledge.
Well, he kind of was, though.
There's a quote like Hulk Hogan said, something about how Mick Foley has as much gym time. I can't remember. Something along the lines of Mick Foley not going to the gym, and Mick Foley and him went at it, and it was they actually just recently met up in some diner in California and mended their relationship.
Oh, they kissed and made up. That's sweet. Yeah. Over some sunny side eggs.
Right. Feel good story.
But here's the question with that too: do you think the event itself would be the most brutal, or do you think all the practicing leading up to it? Because I would imagine, man, the practices you're trying to solidify and make it better. You know how many times they probably fucked up and did get hurt in the practice sessions. That too, man.
Yeah, because you gotta be execute those with pretty good precision. I mean, you can't.
Yeah, I mean,
there's not a whole lot of margin for error on some of those moves.
No,
and there are some videos of like WWE training classes where Triple H and some other wrestlers that are retired will put these people through these training camps, and they will beat the shit out of these people, like smash him into the turnbuckle. There's one guy, he used that out of his mind, and people hate him. He threw this kid in the corner, and just as like a show of strength, was stomping on him and was legitimately stomping onto his head. It was so you like these people. If you want to be in that business, you got to commit to it because it is rough. I don't think there's no way I could be.
It would be very difficult.
They pulled out the old say curb stomp. Is that what you're saying? Curb stomp action.
Well, Jub, when they were talking about their hardest hits, when it was Stone Cold talking about the time when someone power drove him, but it didn't work, and he really actually. He thought he broke his neck.
That was, Stone Cold.
I don't know who did that to him.
Was it Chris? It wasn't Benoit. Or
someone, it didn't go right because really messed up his...
He died. No, he didn't.
Yeah, Benoit, that Chris...
Benoit died, but I don't think that was who that was. But yeah, he wanted to, instead of going to his knees for the tombstone, he went to his ass.
Oh, yeah, like
his head down, was below his... When you listen to Stone Cold tell that story... You could see the fear in his face when he couldn't move his hands in the after it happened. But yeah,
it's scary rough stuff.
All right, moderator.
All right, I've tried to plan a little bit for this. So obviously, just coming off Memorial Day weekend. First and foremost, everybody have a good Memorial Day weekend.
Very good.
Yeah,
was it good?
Mine
was
great. But
yeah,
I get that. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think from a standpoint of? Because I think we are all really good. Excuse me, I shouldn't say we all. I think that sometimes you lose the perspective of what Memorial Day is all about, and we all think it's just because it's a day off and get to, you know, drink, eat, that type of stuff. Do you think most people keep what the true meaning is in the back of their head, or do you think it's truly just a lost cause?
Sadly, I think in most cases it's a lost cause. I just think, like you said, it's a fun long weekend. You know, party with friends, family, and, you know, most people have an extra day off, and you kind of lose sight of it.
100%.
And unless maybe you've had people that was that basically for veterans?
Yeah.
That we've lost in the...
Because I think Memorial Day is more about the people that have passed away, that have lost their life, where veterans
don't mean
is
to
like,
sound ignorant.
No, no, I agree. Because I was thinking the same thing on radio this morning. I kind of felt guilty because I didn't know the like what the basis was, but I think yeah, you're right on that, especially with a holiday, not to sound like wrong here, but on the grand scheme, it's kind of secondary to the main holidays that people observe throughout the year. Christmas, Thanksgiving, Halloween, 4th of July. I would say those are like A tier. Then B tier are those kind of holidays. Valentine's Day. Sorry, Cools.
It's okay.
Memorial Day, Veterans Day, Election Day. I would say that. I'd say for the most part, a lot of holidays are misconstrued as far as what their actual meaning is.
I think that's fair, too, because you throw in the fact of Christmas. I mean, at the end of the day, it's not about getting gifts and that type of stuff. I mean, if you do believe in the true meaning of what Christmas is all about. So I agree. I think, unfortunately, we do kind of lose the big picture on what the true meaning is. And once again, I'm guilty of that, too. You try to embrace it as much as you can. But obviously, when you know you're not having to work and you're having a good time or whatever the case might be. But there is people that have obviously given their lives for us to be able to do that, too. So, Mr. Cooley, what do you think?
I think we have forgotten a little bit about it, but I think it's also good that we can all, you know, celebrate the right that we can go have fun with all of our friends and stuff and take advantage of the sacrifices that they made for us. So,
and I'll piggyback off that too. And I know we talk about the negatives of this. I think social media has also helped.
I would agree
with that, because there are a lot of like posts on days like Memorial Day commemorating people that have fallen and do really cool tributes to people and stuff like that. So I think social media helps in that regard. But I still think that people, I would say if you took a survey of like high school students or below and asked what Memorial Day was about or meant, I guarantee you a large number would probably not know.
So do you think that's a parent problem, a school problem, an individual problem? Because I think if you're in school, man, I mean, I know that they kind of hyped it up for us when we were in school, like kind of what the meaning was and leading up to it and stuff like that.
I feel like mostly everybody knows.
You think?
Yeah.
I don't really remember it being like a big thing for us.
They definitely do like little assignments like in history class, I feel like.
You think?
That's my guess.
I don't remember. I could be wrong, but I don't remember there being some sort of assignment or a task or some. We might have watched a video or something, or like daily news that.
Well, like you said, they all have social media anyway, so
that's true. That's true.
I think majority would say yes, they know what it is.
Well, do you think, Jeff, since both of our fathers are gone, like if they died in war, like do you think we would look at it different? Like if they sacrificed, you know, they were shot or they got blown out of the, excuse me, it would be a lot different.
I do.
You know, especially like if we were, I don't know if we would, we'd have to go too far back when the last, you know, the war, but I guess, you know, it would probably have a different perspective on it. Like thinking, okay, yeah, well, dad died and, you know, fighting for his country and making, he made the ultimate sacrifice.
When you think about Memorial Day, as far as the folks that have given their life, what, like just off the jump, when you think of Memorial Day, what war comes in your mind? Like what era of individual? Oh, wow.
That's a really good
question.
When
I think of Memorial Day and I think of things like that, and even Veterans Day, the first thing that pops in mind is World War II. That's the for some reason that's the first thing, and I know those veterans are few and far between now, but I know that probably should shift.
Maybe that one or maybe the Vietnam War, because there was so much chaos in that time. Like and I always go back to. I don't know why I was always enamored with the Kent State shootings in 1970, and that was a result. I don't know if you remember that, but that was a result of the Vietnam War, and in the colleges across the country were protests, and they were pissed off, and you know, sadly, four people died. But I always think of Vietnam.
See, I would probably go more the World War One and Two as well, probably more Two as well, because I still think you're right. They're few and far between from World War Two that's still alive. And I think Vietnam, there's still plenty of people walking the earth that are able to, they want to talk about or whatever. So I'd probably go World War II as well with that.
I feel like it should start to shift, at least in my brain, it should start to shift to, you know, soldiers that have currently been over in the Middle East and stuff like that, which it's weird to say that I'm hazy on all the stuff that has happened since I've been alive. So it's kind of the different conflicts that have unfolded with our involvement are kind of, because you think about World War One, World War Two, Vietnam War, then the war in Afghanistan in 2001, 2002, mm-hmm. think 2002.
I'm so bad about that stuff. Yeah, me too. So bad.
I think 2002, but then in between that, I have no idea. Like, I have no idea. But regardless,
But you could do it. I mean, you don't have to. I guess personally, you could just look at it as remember those of you lost, regardless if it's
that's a good point.
If it's a war thing, if you just take some time to reflect and think, well, parents are gone or any other loved one.
Just in generalization.
Yeah, I guess
it's a good point.
That's a good point. I never thought about it like that.
I mean, because it's just up to the
But I tell you what, back to your social media thing, like you watch some of the videos from yesterday and you watch, even if it's just a little boy or a little girl that's all dressed up at the cemetery and there's a ceremony going on. I mean, I can't even fathom. I mean, first and foremost, how proud you would be of your dad or your mom if by chance they lost their life in battle or whatever the case might be. But it'd be there's no good way to lose a parent, but man, that would be a really shitty way to know that, the ultimate sacrifice and then you have people that are kind of bad mouthing, whatever the case might be. That would be a rough pill to swallow.
I would like to, maybe that can be something that we do maybe with some sort of special or something. I would love to talk to an individual whose significant other or father, mother, whoever had been deployed. Because I don't know whether you, as an individual like that, do you keep that thought in the back of your mind where it's this could end badly, or are you constantly, please don't happen, or do you finally concede to the thought that this could happen, it's what they want to do?
See, I think, and I know this is going to sound shitty, I think you do. I mean, at the end of the day, when you sign up for stuff like that, you have to know in the back of your mind that if, God forbid, war breaks out or whatever the case might be, that you have the potential of losing a life. I guess it's no different than a policeman.
Right.
Every day of their life is a potential that they're not coming home. So I think, really,
And that's why they should be celebrated for doing that. I mean, just because, we don't really have those hazards in our job thinking about, unless you're in an accident on the way to work or something. But, when they sign up for that, you're right. There's all kind of just dangers everywhere they go. And then if war does break out, then God forbid. So
it's one thing.
It's a hell of a commitment. I'm telling you. It is a hell of a commitment.
And I'm man enough to tell you that of all things in life, that is the last thing that I would ever do. It is not for me. I thank God for the people that have taken up that mantle and go do that, because it is one thing I have never, not one ounce of me has ever said, man, maybe I should go, join the military, join the Navy. Not one ounce of me has ever said that, has ever thought to want to do any of that, ever.
Well, I know what I would like to do if I was young and athletic and handsome like Cooley, and go back and
wrestle bears. Yeah. Wrestle bears.
No, they wrestle. Yeah. Kill them.
Excuse me. Yes.
Woo. But I think I'd be cool to at least to like join the Marines and just go through that and all that discipline.
You would like that?
I just think it would be just to see how I could do it. I think it would be a hell of a challenge. And that, I don't know. I mean,
no, and I respect it, because I have a couple questions piggybacking off of that. But my first one is, have you ever thought about it? So you've already said no. Like, when you were in your younger years.
I've definitely thought about it, but I probably would never have gone through with it, just because, I don't know. I don't know why. It never really, scared me, but I just was never interested in doing it.
Well, cool. So based on what you've said over the past however many
I could
podcast,
do
the guys would be scared to death of you.
Yes, they should be.
Right.
I would fly.
Even a guy at 6'3", 250.
Yeah, I would fly up.
So the drill sergeant goes down the line, he's chewing guys out, and he sees Cool, and he goes, oh, I better not.
I'm not going to fuck with him today.
He just bypasses
I would tell him that. Keep walking, pal.
It'd be like, Private Cooley, fix your belt. Go fuck yourself. Yeah. Yeah.
Fix your fucking belt.
Guess who wouldn't last in the military very long? Mr. Tyler Cooley. No.
Kick my ass.
You're not showing any respect. Yeah.
At least I'd have an excuse to be bald. That'd be sweet.
True. That's a good point.
I just couldn't do with I've said it 1,000 times in this. I don't like authority scares me. So it would really, I don't know that I would necessarily break like some of the people that do when drill sergeants yelling in their face, but I wouldn't like that. It would really piss me off.
Yeah. It wouldn't bother me. I don't think getting yelled at really has ever bothered me.
You would like some guy in your face.
I'm the guy,
fucking maggot.
Yeah, it's like I might start laughing. Like,
is that a jelly dog?
Yeah. What is that?
Well, but is there a method to that? Is that just like they're probably not really pissed off at you. Just see how much you can take and try to break you. See if you're.
Well, like, I think that's a concept, yeah. Right? I think their whole goal is to break you down to build you up and what they want you to be, right?
So and then you can maybe, you know, separate the strong from the weak, you know, okay? So, you know, they call the guy a maggot or something, and he starts crying. Well, he's probably not Marine material. Yeah,
true.
Right.
I mean, I think that's probably just because when you see those days, and I wish Red could be on here because he can talk about when he first started, which I think in the academy it's a little different than going straight to like the Marine Corps and just going to boot camp. But I've seen videos of you once you start, like, you fucking throw your shit down, get your hair cut, take your shirt off, they give you new clothes, and they're screaming at you the whole process. And I could not handle that. No
I don't
way.
Think I would like getting woken up at 4:30 in the morning.
I was just
going to
say that. You're out
get
cold.
Out of bed.
It's raining.
What the hell?
Pouring down rain.
Actually, I just did that to Tyler when I walked in. He was taking a nap. Yeah. I'm like, get up, fucking.
That was a mess.
You fucking bum. But I think at the end of the day, if you think, I mean, there's enough videos, there's enough movies. If you think that shit isn't going to happen, you would have to be mentally prepared. Not that you would be mentally prepared to accept it, but you would have to know that you're going into that and that's going to take place. You would hope that you'd beef yourself up.
Mm-hmm. And there are probably people who like that, who like being pushed like that.
Oh,
and
I think
Chris,
so, yeah.
Like what you were saying, but and also speaking of that, piggybacking off that, what also terrifies me too, can you imagine the fear that you'd have in your heart in World War II when things were getting real heavy and you knew that like there weren't people that were just actively signing up. I'm sure there were, but I'm saying there weren't people that were signed up ready to go and that was it. You knew that at some point you were going to get thrown into that if you were over 18 and healthy. That to me terrifies me, and I could not. I would have been. And there are people that would like hurt themselves, that like cut a finger off, cut a hand off, because they didn't want to be a part of it. Which I think I probably would have been in that line of people, because I couldn't have done it. No way. Mm-hmm. No way.
What would you have done? Just jump off like a two-story building?
Slice off the big toe.
Yeah, probably foot.
Yeah.
Well, foot not the big toe, because that helps you balance. So I'd probably go pinky.
Yeah. Oh, I said the whole foot.
Yeah. Jeez Louise.
Yeah, that's just not for me. And I can't imagine being a kid back in 1942, and you're 18 years old, and it's time to go. And I mean, there were kids at 16 years old and younger going over there because that's what they wanted to do, but.
Well,
not
Chris, you
me.
Talked about discipline, so that leads to my next question. So there's a lot of old-timers that think that obviously our generation's getting softer. They think that the people that are going in the military don't have the same mindset as they used to. So sidestep war, sidestep everything, because you use the term discipline. There's a lot of people that think that every kid, man and woman, should have to go to some sort of boot camp for a short period of time before they go to college to get the discipline aspect, to bring back, quote unquote, the foundation of what we were supposed to be about. And unfortunately, we're going left to center right now. Do you guys think that that should be a mandated thing to grow up as an individual?
What, no, maybe optional. But if you felt that your youngster or whatever had to do that, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, something like that would be good. I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of out of touch with the today's youth, like you guys. I don't know what you guys do. I mean, not that you're soft or anything, but yeah, I think if you had that choice or you could make that to make somebody go do that, and they're gonna toughen them up and, you know, break them of terrible habits, and, you know, if nothing else, teach them freaking respect.
Yeah,
that's a big piece of
you
it
know,
so what about this boot camp consist like just running and
no, I think
kind
it's just truly honestly the whole discipline side. I think it would be a little bit of the exercise side of things,
make
but obviously
bed.
Like,
yeah.
Truly, I guess the basics of life to get started to make yourself stronger as an individual to be able to tackle the world.
Well, and yeah, because I think a lot of you think that youth now think that life's easy. Like life can suck. We all know that. I mean, and to teach you how to prepare in some way, shape, or form, how to deal with adversity, because it's going to happen. I mean, you know, whatever it could be, death. There's a ton of things that can go wrong. So like life's not always, so maybe something like that could help you deal with it, accept it. I don't know, but
I think it's also part of the parents' job too. Cause I mean, my mom and dad did a great job with me. I, you know, please, thank you. Yes. Yeah. I mean, just all the manners that you could possibly endow to a kid, I mean, I feel like, not to toot my own horn, but I feel like I'm a pretty respectful individual, and I think that is based off of my mom and dad and they what they've been taught through their life. So I think taking it out of the parents' hand might be a little bit of a like detrimental to that. Like I think a parent should like you obviously the way you teach Luke is the way that you should teach a kid to be a human being. So I think that it also should be it shouldn't be up to some, you know, breakneck this is what you got to do boot camp to instill a person's respect into them.
Well, thanks for the compliment. I appreciate that. But here's what I will tell you, though. I think, unfortunately, you have I think the good parents versus bad parents, the ratio is really bad nowadays. So unfortunately, you have kids raising kids. You have people that just think having a kid is going to be just some easy path. So I'm not sure parents are probably at the standard as they once were. And full disclosure, I am not military material. That is just black and white.
I think you would do all right.
Now, at 18 years old, not a shot.
Oh, no, you mean back when you were actually 18?
When I was 18 years old, I was not cut out for this at all.
They make me run like a mile. I'd probably just fall down and start crying. Yeah. But now, knowing what I know.
Knowing what I know and the mental mindset and things like that.
Yeah, what it would take, if we could go back, I would give it a shot.
But I'm not... I don't think it should automatically equal that you have to go into the military, but there's a piece of me that I'm not completely opposed to some kind of mandate. And what I'm not even saying a year, just some sort of mandate that gets you out of your parents' household and gets you out underneath somebody's roof and sees what it's like you said, with the adversity and, you know, dealing with different things that you would never deal with before. And obviously learning the aspect of team, and you got a group of people that you can't let down. I think there'd be so many, so many life attributes that you could learn from that.
What's that one thing called? It's in high school and like people can do, it's like young, I think like boys can do it. I think
like
it's
COTA
boys state. Isn't that like something like that? Or like,
I don't know.
I've heard of it. Young life.
Yeah, it's something like that. I feel like there's something similar to that. Maybe not like boot camp wise, but I know there's like a collaborative, like team building type of camp.
I think overall, physical education should be way
100%.
Way more 100%. Like, so instead of just doing like a boot camp after high school for like 2 weeks, I think it should just be all year throughout school. Physical education should just be way harder than what it is, instead of just going in and playing ball.
Playing ultimate frisbee.
Yeah, like get these kids in shape, man, and teach them how to be active and stop being lazy and fat. Yeah, you know?
I agree.
No, I definitely agree.
I mean,
then they can go to the boot camp.
Can you imagine if you had every day for your 4 years in high school, if you had like
we'd be shredded.
Rigorous physical activity that you had to do an hour and a half a day?
It'd be incredible.
You'd be fantastic, but we do, if you don't want to do the activity in gym class, you just walk.
Yeah.
Which is like, what's the point? What's the point?
I just think overall physical health.
I want to ask you this.
A bigger thing.
I would agree with you 100% because let's be honest. I think at the end of the day, as much, I'm going to use the quote unquote mental illness that we have in our country today, I think a lot of it's driven by physical.
Oh, yeah, just people laying around and
it weighs on you. If you don't do nothing, obviously it's going to beat down on you. So I think the more physical activity that you can get, it definitely improves your mind. And people talk about the runner's high, all the things that come with working out and stuff like that. Let's be honest, there is a true benefit to the mindset, without a doubt.
I was just telling Jeb today about the runner's high. He doesn't think I had fun at the tough as nails, but it's a real thing. When you're up there running and you get the runner's high, you feel so good.
I don't necessarily know about a runner's high because I've never really had that, but I will say I'm a very lazy individual as far as not like in my work, but as far as actually getting up and going and doing physical activity. And I will say point blank period, to piggyback off what you said, 1,000%, when I go and take a walk, for whether it be 3 miles or 8 miles, if I take a walk, there's something about being out away from people, just walking, getting yourself moving, and then getting done with that, that makes me feel better in general. Like, just a general feeling of contentness that I have never gotten anywhere else other than actual going out and getting my heart rate up.
And I've done that before too, and sometimes I think I even get a greater satisfaction on the days when I don't want to do it.
Oh, yeah. 1,000%, Chris.
Or once I start, my legs are heavy. I just don't feel like doing it. And then because a lot of times I'll try to walk 4 miles. That's usually what I do, but I don't always. So then I'll start and I'm like, well, okay, I'll just do 2 miles today. But then once I pick it up and then I feel a little bit better, grind through it, do my 4 miles, I'm done. I'm like, I feel really good about that because because we always, you know, we can easily justify
100%,
yeah, not doing it. Well, I'm tired, but 2 miles is better than no miles. But I do get a sense of a greater satisfaction when I don't want to do it and I force myself when I complete it.
So. Have you ever gotten to the point where like you get to maybe a mile and a half or something and you go, oh, I'll just maybe do 3 today, and then you get to that you. Get it, you go a little further, you go, shut up, just go do 4, just suck it up and go do 4.
And I'll tell you this, absolutely, and one of the main reasons why is, it, you know, remember Coach Skip Prosser in Central, he would constantly just drill into, like, whether we were, you know, running, you know, conditioning, running through East Wheeling or on the, always would, you know, do it to completion, no shortcuts. You know, all that, he was a disciplinarian, and those messages still stick with me today. So sometimes I might be walking, and yeah, I might say, you know what, hell with it, I'm just going to do 3 miles. And then I go back to high school, I'm like, no, Skip, Coach Prosser wouldn't let us do that. So I'm, you know, 40 years later, so I just, no, you know, shut up, Chris, you're right. Just do the 4 miles and be done. Yeah. And it's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
So. I want to ask you real quick before we move on to the moderator's topic.
I got a couple more on this, but go ahead.
I know you think you're going to like die alone and like never be, you know, have a family or whatever. And I know you'd say that a lot, but
never heard that, but go ahead.
Oh, he's so
negative.
I
mostly say it joking around, but yeah.
Yeah, okay, now you say that. Say as I'll soon as the mics married. Go off, he's going to go, I'm never getting married, so dude. It's over.
No,
I'm
so
it's over. Well, but real quick then. So when you say you're going to kill these animals, is that joking around too, or is that serious?
Oh, no, that's serious.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
All right,
yeah.
Never
mind. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's got it.
Right. I also would fly up through the Rex, but go ahead.
So when you just, and maybe this is just because of my recent situation in life, but I already in my head think of, speaking of instilling lessons into children, I already in my head will see a kid do something in public and I will in my head have like this, my son, daughter, whatever will never do that. I have like the lessons that my mom and dad put into my head, I will make sure they exhibit those as well as other things that I see around a kid's acting. I'm like in my body, I feel like I'm already prepping for that and I'm not even there yet.
Well, I feel like it's a little different because you do have a girlfriend. So the potential for you to have a kid is there. For me, if I were to have a kid right now, it would be
like,
well, I don't have a girlfriend.
You'd buy one?
Yeah. Like, so I don't know. I guess I've definitely thought about it, but I'm not like looking at little kid, seeing a little kid fuck around and be like, okay, yeah, my kid won't do that. I don't know.
You haven't, but I'm not saying like I'm writing these down, no, like yeah. I got a notebook of things, but just I feel like my mindset is starting to change as to where I am in life.
I think seeing how parents act is something that I take more note of more than the kids.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's kind of cool.
I agree with that too.
But don't you think though, like Jeff, that like that we learn lessons from our parents, like and how they raised us, and even teachers or whoever, provided the discipline that we needed. So in your case, Job, just like with your parents, and you know your dad was on your ass a good bit, but it was for all the right reasons. So you see that, so you know, like you said, you see some kid acting like a buffoon in the store, you're like, well, I'm not gonna let my kid do that because you know.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, that's a credit to our parents.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're just overall pretty good people too. I mean, we are. I mean, so we know.
It's so hard though because it's hard to give advice as a parent because at the end of the day, everybody's situation is so individualized. I still think there's a core foundation that everybody should have, and I agree. It's the please and the thank yous, truly the basics that can help an individual gain success. And a lot of it's simple at the end of the day. But two of the best advice that I've ever been given, actually from my sister, was never say never when it comes to parenting. Because at the end of the day, it's very easy to sit back on the outside and look at somebody else's situation and go, I'm never going to let that happen. So she said, never say never. And the other thing was always appreciate, even though you're bummed about the next stage with your child, because that means they're closer to out of your house, they're closer to getting older and stuff like that, to embrace every stage of parenting and every stage of the child. And it's not easy to do because life is crazy and so hard, but those are probably two of the best pieces of advice that I've ever gotten on parenting.
Mm-hmm.
Did you, when you look back now, and obviously Luke's getting ready, you know, he'll
turn 19 next Saturday,
you know, early stages of college, getting ready to, you know, make that next step. You know, both your kids are older now, and they're compared to back, of course, when they were little. But do you ever look back and when, I don't know, this is just me posturizing over what I think parenting is like, when either one of them were keeping you up in the middle of the night, crying, yapping, or whatever, do you ever look back at the go, man, I would do that for one more night?
1,000%.
Oh,
1,000%.
Yes.
100%.
And I could always remember with one of the kids would wake up in the middle of the night and where they were hungry. So you go get a bottle and then sit in a rocking chair up in the hallway or wherever in another room. And then they would basically just fall asleep on my shoulder and I'd fall asleep too. And and I think back about that, like, man, that was really peaceful.
Yeah.
Once you burp them and they go back to sleep, and then, you know, it's 3 a.m, so you're not even.
Those are some of the most bonding times.
Yes.
That you don't even know that you're bonding at that time, but it is true. I mean, it's the, 100%. I think for anybody to, like, especially those types of moments where you make those roles defined, like, that shit should go out the door, because for that just to be one person's job. It is it's bonding time, and I think that is where probably a lot of things unsaid and gets instilled at that time at the end. And there's a lot of thought that goes in behind that. I mean, not as in thought as in I'm going to go warm up a bottle or stuff like that, but it is a thinking time. And as you know, you get pissed off at that moment because Christ, you're up and you know you got to get up in a couple hours to go to work. So it's hard to stay level headed, but man, looking back on a job, 1,000%, if I could take some of those moments back and embrace them without a doubt.
And you know, and in that moment, when you're going through this, you're like, Jesus Christ, this has been going on for 2, 3, 4, 5 months now, and you think it's never going to end, and then in a blink of an eye, you know, they go from that stage, and they're going to kindergarten, and they're graduating 8th grade. I mean, we could give these two guys advice. It's going to go fast. In the moment when you're, you know, changing a diaper at 3 a.m. or feeding them, it seems like it's a huge.
The world's going to end.
Yes.
The world's going to end.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's a responsibility that goes with being a parent. You have to do it, but it does go fast. And when I was younger, not even as a parent, but even prior to that, and I've said this to you guys before, I never took the advice when people would say, time's going to go fast. And
it's hard to do.
When you're just a dumb young kid, you think you know everything. And, well, 40 years later, it's like, man, they were right. God, they were so right.
We got to park. It was like the first day of my freshman year, and it's like you do like a, it's like a, you're not actually going to school, but they go and they like do a pep rally, and they talk about school and what the steps are going to be, going to class, how the system works and stuff like that. And I remember, I can't remember who it was, but they got on the microphone and they said, "These 4 years are going to be the best 4 years of your life. Don't take that for granted, and it's going to be gone before you know it." And I thought that was the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, because I hated high school when I was in it. I hated going through freshman, sophomore, junior, senior year was a joke. But my first 3 years, I hated it. I just did not like high school. And then I got to senior year and out of it, and I look back and I go, you know what? That they were 1,000% right. Mm-hmm. Life was easy. You didn't worry about shit. You just did your homework. You went to school. You played baseball, and that was it. Mm-hmm. And now I look back, and I probably am kicking myself for not doing more and enjoying it while I had it.
Be careful what you wish for, right?
Yeah, I know. 100%. I know.
Just a couple more things on Memorial Day. Do you guys consider yourself patriotic? Meaning, here's a couple things. So if you national anthem's playing, are you stopping a hand down respecting, or do you hands down respect the flag? Also, if you see somebody that has maybe some sort of hat on that commemorates, you know, they're a vet or whatever the case might be, will you thank them for their service? That type of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. We went down to. I played obviously post one. Luke's playing right now, and we went down to the regional tournament, and they are very strict.
They are very strict.
And very, very acknowledging of the Legion and the actual meaning behind Post One and all of the Legions and why it's Legion. And one of the rules that they have there on this is a four fact rule, and they instilled this in you before you even got to the field. You had a little conference. They said, when the anthem starts playing, you stop moving. You don't talk, you don't turn, you don't shake, you don't sway. If you're caught doing any of that, they take you, put you on a bus, and send you home.
And really?
Wow. Yes.
Now, actually, and Luke lived that too.
And I was horrified because I was like, one of these guys, and we had some jack-offs on our team that just could not stand still. Soup, to be specific. Soup was standing in front of me about 10 players down, and he's swaying, and the commissioner, the guy that came up, his name was Skip, and he was a hard ass. He came up to my dad and he said, "Hey, what was Soup's number? 21?
Something, I forget.
Whatever it was." Mm-hmm. He goes, "Hey, is number 21, he a hockey player?" And my dad was like, "No." And he goes, "Well, you got to tell him to stop swaying in line or else he's going to go home." And since then, every single time the national anthem comes on, I do not move until the last note of the song. And it drives me insane. And my dad can talk on this maybe sometime later. When I see people messing around, not taking their hat off, talking to people during a national anthem, and it drives me nuts now. I can't stand it. Because and like Color Guard, when they were for the beer mile, I thought that was fantastic. And, that's cool. And you know, people are supposed to be quiet until the Color Guard move off. But, yeah, that's just a little.
So that baseball thing, so even if you're – your eyes are locked on that flag, and you're dialed in, but they want you to stand still.
Yeah, if you're moving around, like shoulders moving, stretching, they'll call your ass out.
Because I was a little bit of a swayer.
They'll call you.
See, I would have been.
They'll call you out.
Yeah, just like I don't even realize I'm doing it.
They'll call you out.
Oh.
It was rough. It was rough. My dad does it too. He does not move until the national anthem's over. It's one thing I took away from that.
And I agree with you, Job. When you're in a stands and people are talking and not respecting or whatever the case might be, I just can't even fathom being that guy.
No.
Like in a group of people and being that guy, or it's even worse when it's young kids. Now, granted, there's a little bit of grace period on the age group, but it's crazy to me that it's just socially acceptable now that people just do what the fuck they want when the national anthem's playing. Drives me up a wall, so I agree with that.
Well, and how long is a national anthem generally?
Minute to a minute and a half?
Like 80 seconds, maybe?
Yeah. I mean,
what infuriates me is that for a minute and a half, you can't just shut up and focus on what's going on. I hate that. It drives me nuts. What are you going to say to somebody in a minute and a half?
They can't wait.
Yeah. Unless you're on fire or there's a bomb that is being dropped at your feet, you should be still and just shut up for a minute.
And then you got a 3-hour sporting event to just to say and scream and hoop and
exactly.
Haul.
And the only exception that I have to that rule is unless you're singing the national anthem, unless the collective crowd is singing the national anthem, then you can belt it out. But just shut up.
Well, let me ask you this then: would you guys be disappointed, upset, pissed off if they did away with the national anthem before sporting events?
I would be totally jacked off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would be totally jacked off.
So yeah. I know there was talk about, you know, when they had the BLM and all that stuff started and people were, you know, leaving the court or from basketball, whatever it may be. And then I remember there were rumblings about that. Like, well, maybe just to avoid it all, we'll stop playing the anthem, which I think would be a travesty.
What made them start playing it for sports now that I think about it? Because, like, we don't really play it for too much else other than sports.
That's a really good point. Question. I don't know.
I've always wondered, like, why sports?
I wonder what the first sport was. Maybe I'd say baseball.
My thoughts were probably the Olympics.
That could be it.
But I don't know.
But, and that's another thing. I think it's really cool to hear other nations' national anthems because I think those are cool too.
They are.
Canada's is great. I love the UK's God Save the King now. But yeah, I think just people have respect and.
Yeah, because I always thought that was cool as hell in the Olympics when they have the gold, what is it, gold, silver, and bronze, and they take the.
Mm-hmm.
And they raise the flags and then they do the winning. Is that what they do? The winner's anthem, whatever country you're from?
Just the one, right?
Yeah, the one, the winner. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think that is so cool.
So to answer your question, yes, I do think I'm very patriotic. Yeah, to a degree.
Now, I probably have not went up personally and thanked somebody for their service. Maybe because I wasn't aware. I'd like to think I would, but I like.
It means something to me.
It does.
It hands down means something to me. At the end of the day, the life we get to live, we could all be born in some other fucking third world country.
I'm not a tough guy. I don't fight, but it might have been back when the Mountain East had their tournament down in Charleston. I think that's what it was for, but they did the anthem, and there were like three guys that didn't stand up, and
were they by you in the crowd?
Yeah, they were like to my left, and they were just sitting there, and I was so mad. I want to go over and punch each one of them in the fucking head. I mean, it was just like, what's your point?
Yeah,
what's your point?
You should have been really cool if you did.
I mean, and nobody said a fucking word to him.
Because I will say this, and I don't talk politics at all. I hate politics. I hate it. But as far as the country goes, do we have problems? Of course we do. I'm sure every country in the world does. Do we have people that are underprivileged in some? Of course we do. But damn, I think this place is one of the coolest places to live.
Oh, God.
I think we are so much.
Not one of them. It is.
I just think it's that you have so much to do. There's so much to see, so many places to go. Are there issues? Of course there are. Are bad things happening? Of course there are. But I mean, at the end of the day, I would say, yes, I am patriotic to a probably above average level.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fair. Last statement on this, just a cool story. So I work with a gentleman that his whole family is pretty much military. And he shared with me that for the past several years, they don't all get together on holidays anymore. The only holiday they get together is Memorial Day. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they, and I want to say he's been doing it like for 15 or 17 years. And they go to the local cemetery in Steubenville. And I guess there is a memorial service. And I'm not sure if it's just this cemetery or if it's all cemeteries. And I'm sure it's probably based on how many military people are maybe that are buried in that certain cemetery. But they have a ceremony at 6 o'clock in the morning. I don't know if it's music, whatever the case might be. But they go 3-4 o'clock in the morning and they go wash 75 grave sites of ex-military people. And I thought that was actually super, super badass that they take out their time. Once again, military means the world to them. He's a very yes, sir, no, sir kind of guy. And they actually, his dad even bought a truck and and cut off like half the bed and put two big water tankers to make their life easier going from gravesite to gravesite to be able to.
Oh, really?
Like, so it's not really a power washer, but it's set up so you don't have to have your own water. You have your own water supply.
Yeah.
Water supply and stuff like that. But I thought that was, I'll be honest, I've shared awesome. That with everybody that wanted to listen this weekend. I think that is just, I think we could all learn from that aspect of life.
It's definitely a different echelon of person, of humility and respect. I would say that is definitely in an upper echelon of people in this world.
That's just a selfless act.
It is truly. I mean, to boot, we're talking about our day off. We all probably were hungover at 3 o'clock in the morning on Monday morning.
Yep.
And they're choosing to get up on their day off to go do some sort of service for, just like you said, out of respect. So I just thought that was a cool story to share with you guys.
Well, cool. Tell your coworker that we're impressed with that.
So yeah, sure will.
That's an awesome thing.
So I was down the pool place this past Saturday, and unfortunately my pool place is closing, and I'll be honest, I'm kind of bummed about it. I guess it's been in the area for years. My dad dealt with these guys for 40 years before he passed. Matter of fact, he took me down to introduce me. When I put my pool in, took me down and said, bottom line, Jeffrey, whatever these guys tell you to do with your pool, you listen. They're not going to fuck with you. They're not going to steer you in a bad direction. They're loyal, faithful, listen to what they have to say. So I've built a really nice, I've had the pool for 5 years, built a really nice relationship, and But they said, so in, now granted, they're all kind of a little bit longer in the tooth. So they're all kind of around the corner from probably retirement, no matter what. But what has hands down cut it off, what they said on Saturday was post-COVID, dealing with the general public and dealing with people's needs and wants and lack of patience, it is just truly time to get out of business. Mm-hmm. So my question to you fellas is what has changed? What did COVID do to our society that is making things so, because I'll be honest with you, their statement's 100% true. Something has changed in our world where there isn't any patience anymore. Talking to people just the way you want to talk to people is just a, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to do it because I don't really give a fuck about the common man. What did COVID do to us, fellas, that has changed us so much about that?
I can't really answer that, but I've asked myself that several times just because seeing videos and stuff or on the news, these people that just acting so disrespectful. And you think, what are they so angry about? And you bring up a good point. I don't know. I don't know what did change. I
mean, so do you guys agree, though?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I'll say
it seems like it's an angrier society.
I'm gonna theorize. Well, no, not it's not a theory. It's a what's below a theory? Hypothesize.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm gonna hypothesize that people were brought inside, so your face to face business was basically mute for how long? I mean, how long were you in actual lockdown?
Probably about a year, I'd say, is a like, safe year.
So for a year, your face to face businesses were being pretty much obsolete for that amount of time. I would say that online businesses were focusing hard on who can supply you the fastest, who can get you what you want the quickest. Amazon being one of those where you can, I mean, even now I can order a 12 pack of Monster and it'll be here on my doorstep tomorrow. So I think patience wise, everything is at the click of a button. Social media now has been reduced to like 30 second clips of like funny stuff or whatever you want to watch on your social media. So I think the attention span has gone down. So I would say that maybe patience was something that had built over years, and then you're introduced to this space of online shopping, online commerce, online communication, where you can, instead of having to call somebody to set up a meeting, drive to a location and have a meeting, what's your Zoom login, and then I log into my computer and I'm right there for a meeting. So potentially maybe it's because we had everything so accessible for a year right at our fingertips that when you're introduced back into face-to-face business, that delay between end result and product is maybe annoying to a lot of people.
I think it's all very valid points, and I think there's no right or wrong answer. But I guess, wouldn't you think, I'll play devil's advocate with that, wouldn't you think that the appreciation factor, because if you go to a pool place, yeah, granted, you're right, you can order through for Amazon and you get it the next day. But if I go down to my pool place and I get my water checked, I'm still can buy something and walk out with it. Mm-hmm. So I'll play devil's advocate. Wouldn't you think there would be some sort of appreciation factor since we all were? And I know Matt talks about this sometimes, and this is a really shitty way to look at it because I agree with him. Man, that might have been... And I personally knew some people in the past, and the whole situation was horrible, especially being in the medical field. COVID was just a fucking shit show, and it caused way more gray hair on this head than needs to be. But that was a good year of my life.
I agree with you.
I mean, I hate to say that, but it was, man. It was, we nestled down as a family. We got our dogs at that time from a standpoint. That's the reason why they're both dickheads, because they weren't socialized because they were COVID dogs. COVID for me wasn't, minus all the shit that came with COVID, that year of my life was really, really good.
I agree.
So I would play devil's advocate then. Like, you would think that there would be some sort of appreciation factor, though, of opposite of everything you just got done trying to sell us.
So I totally agree with you. I think, and this is very selfish of me to say, like you said, people pass away. Of course, that is horrible. I'm not downplaying that in the slightest. Not in the slightest, because I know it was a horrible time for a lot of people. It hurt a lot of businesses and so forth and so forth, like especially mom and pop shops, local businesses that can't do online commerce and stuff like that. However, I will say this without
a shred. However,
without a shred of other way thinking, it was by far one of my favorite years of my life. I felt like as our family, I felt like we were tighter. I felt like we would have dinner every day. We would, you know, we socialize more. I hung out with like my brother more in the house. We built all the stuff in the backyard. Mm-hmm. When as far as my job, which I don't have a job at the time. Actually, I did. I was an intern at the time. I didn't need to be in person for that, and I could meet online, which was a lot more convenient. If I needed help with something, I could just say, hey, can I pop on your Zoom real quick? She'll say, yeah, meet me in 15 minutes. Boom, I'm in your Zoom. I talk to you. I need what I need to know. That's done. Then I got up and I went downstairs, and I didn't have to worry about anything else other than my life as it was in a 100-yard bubble. And I think that maybe some people like him hated COVID, hated the aspect of being locked up and confined, that maybe people are like animals. They're like, now that you're back out into the public, let's just, I need what I want. I want to get what I want. And maybe manners have gone out the window.
What do you think, Mr. Cooley?
You guys aren't going to like my thoughts. Just because I don't think, no, I don't know.
What?
I don't think people have really gotten worse over the time.
Okay.
I just think they've always been bad. Like, I think your guys' generation was bad. I think the generation before was bad. I don't think our generation's any different either. I just think we're more exposed to it because of social media. I don't know. I don't really think there was really COVID. I don't think
so. You don't think COVID really changed anything? No, it just maybe brought out some of the worst?
I think we see and hear more about it than we would have. Like, if I was growing up in your guys' era, we wouldn't have gone on Facebook, Twitter, TikTok and seen anybody posting anything about somebody being an asshole or anything like that. So I just think it's just more exposed, not actually.
Cool. You know what? I'm going to agree with you on that. Because I mean, what do we always say? I mean, we're surrounded by dickheads wherever you go. I mean, in society. But yeah, it just didn't happen in the last 10 years. I think in general, I mean,
I think it was easier to get away with it back then. Like you could, your guys' era, it was like, you could go out and do whatever and you couldn't be filmed doing it.
True.
So like, I think for your guys' generation, it was probably more assholes because it was easier to do it. But
yeah.
It's a valid point. I don't know. It really is.
Those assholes are never.
You know what? Cool. Just like this morning on radio, how your opinion was swung. I think you might have swung my opinion.
Yeah. Those assholes everywhere.
Maybe that's why, Jeff, is because we were so removed from that. Like, we forgot that what that public interaction was like, and now we're back into it, and we're like, man, this is actually kind of shitty. There's people that are actually pretty shitty out here.
Yeah, but anyone that we are friends with, family, and we had to endure COVID, I don't know anybody that like turned into some kind of crazed monster. Yeah. You know, you go to the store and you know you have to wait 5 minutes to get checked out and you're fucking throwing shit all over. Like, everybody still seems the same. I mean, we got through COVID and we survived it, and maybe we're better for it, but I don't know of anybody that just like you know, like you said,
like a gremlin,
right? Yeah. Like that people were like caged animals and they couldn't wait to get out and just wreak havoc and they get their freedom back.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'll
play devil's advocate on that, because I think I've seen more now. Like, I think during the COVID time, some people that were hands down probably not, I don't want to use the rewarded, maybe acknowledged more than they should have been, is like a grocery store worker. And this, what those people had to deal with on being in the face of people. And obviously at that time when it first came out, it was very scary because nobody really knew the truth and it was the unknown and stuff like that. I think there's a lot of people that took an unnecessary pounding for no reason. But I still don't understand the concept of, and once again, there's no right or wrong answer, but I don't understand what gave people the green light, like to feel like it's okay to talk to people that way. Or the fact of the matter, if I do go to my pool place and I can't get what I need, it's not Top Hat's fault that they can't get it. It's a supply chain issue. So you're getting pissed off at the wrong person or taking it out on the wrong person. I just thought it was a sad statement. I mean, at the end of the day, I probably selfishly I'm bummed because I'm not going to have my pool place to go to. And I really do like the people that I was dealing with, and they're just good people. And I'm super happy for them that they get to retire. But I just think they said their time frame was moved up because now dealing with people and dealing with their expectations and their lack of patience and wanting everything yesterday when it can't happen that way. I mean, we didn't even really have that before COVID. I mean, there was still some times where things just didn't work out in your favor or somebody came and bought the last bottle or whatever and you were just the odd man out. I don't know. To me, it kind of hit home because I do believe I agree with what you said, Cools. I think at the end of the day, like in our generation, nobody was able to video us and there was a lot of dickhead things we did. Now, everybody, instead of helping somebody or whatever the case might be, you're going to pull out your phone and video it. So I do think that it's heightened because it's you can put it out there. But I do think people have changed, though. Yeah. I really do.
I will say this, and I'm just arguing. Just
no, I love it. Yeah.
But like, I feel like when I go out to eat or see people complaining, a lot of time it's older people.
Okay,
so I agree.
Like, I don't really see people my age.
Well, I like
being
that.
Rude
okay.
to waitresses.
Define old.
Probably like
old. Middle age.
Yeah, like middle age and up. Honestly, I don't really see too many.
Like you're Karen.
Yeah. That's a perfect example. Oh, is the Karens like a Karen. Of the world, and a lot of those are like, I would say 40 and up. Maybe I don't know, but I don't see too many like a. My friend group or my age group really being rude to.
Yeah, I think we might our age might lack like basic manners maybe, mm-hmm. but not outwardly rude to people.
Yeah, I like saying thank you and stuff. Yeah, for sure.
But I don't know. I don't know.
It's interesting.
Just thought I'd throw it out there, fellas. I am the goddamn moderator, just maybe, to be very clear.
Hey, maybe let's put a poll out. We'll put a poll out. Who is what can we ask? Who's more rude? And we can put like three different age categories.
Yeah, we'll see.
Like 0 to 5.
May the best man win.
Yeah. We'll see.
So the airplane industry hit the weekend news a good bit this weekend, whether it be a lot of problems with planes, a lot of weather. I think a plane caught fire before even taking off. There was a bad plane, bad flight where they were telling everybody to put on their life vest. I tell you what, and the other one was that I read where there was some dude ended up going to the restroom, coming out buck naked and started running up and down the aisle.
Cool. I wish I was on that flight.
Here's the deal. So I know you guys are probably going to say social media with that as well, because there's obviously people are posting or people are talking about it more now. What has changed with that too now? Like, cause
that's a bad one. You're right.
Because, I mean, a couple of things. We'll stay on the mechanical side. I mean, obviously, there's a lot going on with that industry, but man, it does make me think a little. And I love to fly. I loved it. And probably, it's a high for me, if you want to know the truth. Once I get out of my car and I do the whole bag thing, there is a huge pressure relief. Like the fact of the matter, you know, everything's kind of taken care of. The only worry then, your own personal worry, minus the fact of the matter that the plane's going to make it. It's the fact, Mariah, that your bags arrive at the same place as you do. That's really your biggest worry. I love to go into an airport and sit down, have a drink, talk to people, or even if it's just me having a drink and sitting there just people watching. I love that whole situation. But these types of scenarios, I'm not going to lie, make me second guess getting on a plane nowadays. I mean, can you imagine some fucktard literally going up and then literally like, and you don't know what the agenda is. So you're automatically thinking that he's either going to try to take down the plane or whatever the case might be. Does that stuff make you guys second guess trying to jump on a plane right now?
Absolutely.
You're going on
and I'm just, what you just said about flying in airports, I'm the same. I could go sit. And, you know, you used to be able to go into the gate area and go to rest. Even if you didn't have a boarding pass, you weren't even flying. You could just go and sit and have a beer, watch people. I'd love that. Watch planes take off, land. But with these videos, what has triggered these people to just fucking lose their shit on an airplane? Now, I've never been on a flight where that's happened. Have you?
I have not.
I haven't sat next to anybody that was, you know, creepy or rude or anything, but it happens all the time.
I had
like
one
more now than ever.
Yeah,
I had one drunk kid behind me that was real bad for one flight when I was by myself flying to Florida to see these guys, and it was real bad. But I've never had like outwardly a horrific encounter on a plane. Knock on wood. You're going on an international flight soon.
Yeah, I leave June 3rd. I go to London.
So what is your thoughts?
I'm not scared of flight show. I've never really
second guessed. You're gonna be on a jumbo jet.
Yeah,
like a big one.
The big boy. Yeah, I can't wait.
So not necessarily afraid of, afraid of flying, but are like, do those types of scenarios like it, like have in the back of your mind like some dickhead's gonna get up in the air, we're gonna have to land because some jackoff's running naked up and down the aisle, or or the fact of the matter they're telling you to put your life vest on or whatever. I mean.
I don't know. I don't think the thought crosses my mind because most of the time I'm with a group of friends and I'm super excited for what's to come.
What's to come.
So
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's in the back of my mind, I guess. But I've never really had thoughts of like, oh man, this plane could go down.
We've probably flown together, what, 10 times?
Oh, probably more.
Probably 10 times in our lives.
Each time we go twice.
Yeah, so we've flown together. There's something about like what you said about there being a high when you're in. Mm-hmm. Once you get through security, which again, I hate going through there because I always feel like they're going to find like a bomb in my jacket and then they're going to tackle me. But like there's something that I agree. I love like being in an airport with all your friends and stuff too is like a just an experience where you're ready. Stuff. You know that the destination's almost there. Mm-hmm. And even when you're coming all the way back, you're just totally done and everything's just let's be funny now. But I don't know. I haven't seen too much as far as planes blowing up or anything like that. I mean
George you say explode. I love when you say that. Yeah. Blowing up.
Yeah, I've never seen a plane explode like on recently, but the only one I remember recently was the one where the door ripped off that Alaskan flight.
Mm-hmm. I didn't see it,
but
maybe that's my problem is I just haven't really seen it. The only thing I've seen is the Burger King guy.
Hell yeah, which is
yelling some horrific stuff.
I don't know if that's exactly life threatening, but
yeah.
Well, the one thing that I feel good about, and I hope this never ever happens on your flight. But if it does plunge into the ocean, you're so tough, you'll survive.
I would swim right back to land.
He'll probably, you know what he'll do, Chris? He'll pull the plane back to land.
Right. He'll save everybody.
Everybody.
I might just take control of it. Listen, I could land a plane if needed.
Bullshit.
I promise.
Bullshit. That plane is going right in the ground. Well,
let me ask you guys a question. It's just about flight. What gives you, if you even have an uneasy feeling about flying, taking off or landing? Or does either one of them bother
me? Neither one of them bother me. No. Mm-mm.
Taking off. I don't like that.
No, see, I'm
really?
Landing. Yeah, because...
You think more can go wrong?
Well, I just remember that flight, 427 in Pittsburgh that crashed up there in Hopewell. That was in 1994. I mean, they were like 5 miles, 8 miles from the airport, and they just fell out of the sky and just plunged at 500 miles an hour dead.
Damn.
Just like that.
That is pretty terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't even survive that one.
I would have jumped out.
But I don't know. And the first time I ever flew, we were going to Jamaica.
I would have just jumped out.
And I didn't know what to expect. And then we're landing, and all I can see is water. You know, you can't see it. You can't see in front. I'm like, what the hell? I don't see anything but water. And we're getting closer and closer.
Coming into Tampa is like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Coming into Tampa is like that from Pittsburgh. I don't like – I hope – maybe Jared will clip this and I can get some answer to this question. I have a fear. I don't know what it is. I have a fear of looking up. Like when I'm high, I have a fear of looking up, not down. I don't give a shit what's down.
When you're high?
No, when I'm in a plane, when I'm high up in a plane, looking up out of the window scares me to a frightening degree rather than looking down.
I've never once looked up.
Listen, and then –
What are you looking up at?
Right.
Just like
how do you look up?
Space,
just like
looking. No, like looking up, like right outside the window, like looking up outside. That terrifies me, and I'd never have found a phobia for that. But what really freaks me out is when you're in a plane and you're taking off and you're towards the back of the plane and the plane is inclined a little bit and you can look and you know just by being able to judge the horizon next to you, you know that you're pointed up and just seeing the end of the cabin in front of you and you're looking up at it, that freaks me out.
I love that feeling of what I'm
so bad. I do not like that at all. I do not. So roller coasters. Looking up at when I'm on the top of the hill of the roller coaster, and I look up, I'm terrified.
Yeah.
But looking down, I don't give two shits. I mean, I'd fall and.
I was going to say, you're not going to hit the air. You're going to hit the ground.
I guess it's a fear of like all of a sudden the gravity switches off and I just keep going.
That would be actually kind of badass.
When I see astronaut like spacewalks when they come out of the capsule. And they're out there hanging off the side of the space station. That's the most terrifying thing I could ever imagine, is if my tether got unhooked and I just drifted off into space. It's one of my biggest fears ever. and I know I will never be in space.
They kicked somebody off the other day. She sat in the emergency row, and she refused to agree to help. And then they tried to move her, and she wouldn't move, so they had to kick her off. You're talking about an irrational prick, man. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, like, I don't even know how that even comes in your mindset.
So not only would she help, like she wouldn't help, but she if the plane went down, but she wouldn't move.
She wouldn't move to what move a different bitch. City. It's crazy. Rational people.
It would be awesome if they let her sit there, and then the plane went up, and the door got ripped off, and she got sucked
She's
out of the
plane. First one out.
Right.
And then Cooley gets up and puts the door back on.
Yeah.
He gets on, he flies next to the plane. Yeah.
Actually, Cooley could probably stand on the wing.
Yeah, he'll climb out of the ring. Yeah.
The confidence level is through the roof, but I can appreciate that. 100%.
You're indestructible.
I could be a superhero at this point.
Yeah.
Create your own ass on your chest. Yeah. I'm trying not to use this paper. I'm trying to save these is what
okay.
I'm trying to
All
do.
Right.
So, Jubber, you talked about probably a couple weeks ago on the show, we were talking about how not dumb people, but how, you know, people go and do the street interviews and they ask the true generic questions. Well, I was watching one the other day where some guy was going up to people and saying, hey, what is something that you've done that would either truly disappoint your parents or whatever the case might be? And this fucking idiot, I'm not even sure what they were, but said, when I go to restaurants, I put rat poisoning in condiments, like the ketchup bottle, mustard bottles, this and that. And I started thinking to myself, I'm thinking, man, oh, man. Well, first and foremost, you're a fucking idiot for admitting that, number one.
Mm. How is that not a crime?
You would think that it would
be. Definitely a crime.
Now, granted, this
yeah.
Yeah, I
mean, that's a crime.
This could be complete bullshit, too. But I guess my question is there something that you guys would, is there anything in particular that you guys wouldn't admit on tape that you would want people to know about?
No. I don't really, he's an idiot, by the way.
He said it's definitely a crime. Putting rat poison in water.
I don't have anything I really have done that's like horrible.
Yeah,
I don't put fucking rat poison in people's.
But can you imagine that's your agenda?
That's crazy.
You go to McDonald's and like there's I don't even know if how many restaurants now. I guess there's a light. Like you're just opening up the ketchup bottle and you're looking around and seeing if anybody's looking. You put a little bit of rat poison in. Like, do you sit back and like sit there at the restaurant and watch somebody else eat it, or what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. Why? How are you bringing that in? Why do you have that? What's the point?
Well, I mean, you could buy rat poison anywhere.
But I'm saying why? That's not like something like, oh, I have rat poison. I might as well put it in the condiments. I brought that here for a reason.
Yeah, attempted murder.
But I'm saying that person like it sets out to do that. It's not like that was just something they stumbled upon. There was rat poison at the table, and they said, I might as well.
I was
this
thought
in
out
catcher.
For sure. Yeah. And that actually, I think that may even be premeditated.
Yeah.
From the, especially if somebody dies or gets sick.
Jesus.
I just thought that was absolutely crazy. Like, I mean.
I thought you were going to say, like, they push people over in a park or something like that. Or they like to, I don't know, they broke the window in the house and blamed it on somebody else. Or try to poison someone's mustard.
That's kind of nuts. That's crazy.
I don't have anything.
That's a sickness there. That's sick.
No, I don't know. Maybe person. I got too drunk one day. That's about as bad as it gets for me.
Yeah, I don't have anything.
I don't think I'd have anything either. I mean, I've done some dumb things, but I don't think I've ever done anything that would be hurtful or my intention was to take somebody out in this world and they weren't to know about it. I mean, I guess if somebody really did something bad to you and you were able to guess get them back, but just to piss in your Cheerios for the day, like that would just, I mean, that's just a horrible way to live life. But I'll be honest with you, she was, or whatever they were, serious as a heart attack, didn't break face, and even the dude interviewing was kind of like shell-shocked what are you even talking about right now? And actually even shell-shocked from a standpoint that you're admitting this right now on this video that I'm going
to
produce, promote.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Unbelievable. Nothing, Jubber?
I'm trying to think of something that maybe I can't really think anything.
You probably
haven't
done a lot of bad things.
Yeah,
in your life,
I don't do a lot of like wild things that I would regret. I mean, I can't really think of anything. The only thing that comes to mind is the boat in Antigua, but I don't know.
I mean, we didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, we didn't do it. We didn't break the law. Yeah, I mean, that I probably have maybe one that I probably shouldn't say on the show. Yeah. I'll tell you after the fact, but nothing crazy.
Right. Now, what is this stuff that you have done that you don't want to admit?
Well, I don't know if it's necessary. I don't know if there was like rules of engagement with it, but it was pretty much his question was, what would be something that your parents would be disappointed in, or somebody that you'd be close to that would, that if they found out that you did.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Yeah. No, I got nothing.
Yeah. I tell my parents everything anyway. So yeah. I got nothing to hide.
Well, I have some things, but we're going to, I'm going to plead the fifth, but that's more way back. Not nothing current, but
yeah, probably more mischievous kid shit.
Young adult shit.
Yeah, I've done some. I mean, I've definitely done some dumb things.
Stuff I'm not proud of at all. And
what did Meemaw, what did she do if you did something like that? Like, was she too, or was your dad more?
Just put it this way, and I talked to my buddy Tony, who we were kind of partners in crime. That some of the things we did. If we would have got caught, I would still be in pain from the beating I would have gotten.
From your dad?
Oh, he'd have beat the living fuck out of me. And I would have deserved it. So, and that's all we're going to say about that.
But Aunt Sue, she didn't really get involved, like, as far as punishment wise?
No, she was kind of a little bit soft. But, like, if he punished me, then, you know, she would have to uphold it.
Yeah.
But the problem, not the problem, but what made it worse is... when my dad liked going to the cave club.
Uh-oh.
And so when me and Tim would fuck around, like, he'd come home kind of angry sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
And he was just that kind of guy when he was drinking. So, you know, he and I could be wrestling in the living room upstairs, and he gets pissed off because, hey, you fucking guys, quit making all the noise and stuff like that. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm glad I wasn't that way. But he would be the disciplinary,
the warden.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. A physical warden too.
So we hit Memorial Day, COVID changes, airline changes.
Yes, airline.
That's three.
I got a closing note, but
go ahead.
I know I sent the text on the group, and this is a little bit of late, but it's from a standpoint of the baseball coverage that obviously you, your dad, Jarrett, and Soup did. So I'm going to throw up on you guys for a little bit. I'm not a baseball. I like baseball. To say that I love baseball and I understand A to Z to baseball, I'd be lying. Luke probably got me back more in baseball just with playing, and then obviously following him around and traveling and stuff like that. It brought back some sense of love, I guess, for the game. But if I didn't know you guys at all, and I was just happened to be turning on the radio that day and listening honestly to your reads and how you handled business back here, and I know you're not a big sports guy, but if you knew anything, probably baseball would be the sport that you know a little bit more about than any other sport, and how you were able to navigate in between some, obviously there was some connection problems and some technical issues and that type of stuff. And then listen to those guys do the play-by-play. And I think I put on the text the terminology that they were using that maybe some people wouldn't understand, but the baseball enthusiast would, to painting the picture that I'm sitting. I listened to all three games. First night was in my pool. Second night was on the tractor. And the third one was when I was coming back from Cleveland. Mm. So like those, how that made, it's so cheesy as fuck, but made my nights 100% better. And even if I didn't know you guys, because obviously I'm selfish and obviously root for this group the best that I can, but you guys all four did a fucking absolutely ridiculous job. From A to Z, it was honest to God, as heartfelt as I can explain and express. You guys all did an unbelievable job.
And I gotta give credit to my dad, because he was the one, coach. He was the one that spearheaded that. And, of course, he was the lead. If it's the color commentator, what's the other guy called?
He's the play-by-play. Yeah, right?
The play-by-play?
Play-by-play. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he was the play-by-play, then Jarrett and Super Color. He it's definitely a passion of his that he wanted to do for a while, and I think this is the first opportunity that he had to actually sit behind a radio broadcast and handle the helm of a broadcast, and he knows more than enough to be able to navigate that.
God.
And I think he and plus he's been doing PA for thousand months.
96 years.
Yeah. He was really good. I was really impressed with how well he did, and got to thank all the people with the Watchdog for letting us do that. And
just the way they were able to paint you, once again, it was so well done that you would have thought that they all did it for 96 years. The way that they pinged off each other, they all had their, nobody was overbearing. They all respected each other's times and whatever the case might be. The stats that was given, or even the intricacies about a certain play or whatever the case might be, that the common Joe would have no fucking clue. Yeah. But the painted picture where you could, once again, cheesy as fuck, I felt like I was there. Mm. I mean, the emotions and the excitement and the highs and the lows of all three of those games. Like, honest to God, I felt like I was chilling in Williamstown or I was chilling in 470 watching these games. So just wanted to show a little bit of love because I do. I thought it was very well done. And to the four of you guys, super proud to be a part of this group and listen to that stuff. So I just wanted to show a little love.
I appreciate it. And I know they do, too. And I obviously they are they did most of the heavy lifting. But I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. And if you want to go listen to that, you're listening to this, you can go listen to that on watchdognetwork.com. And there's a podcast section. We recorded the whole 2 hours of the last game of the series. The second game got mixed up. And then the first game, I feel like I didn't want to put it out anyway. Third game's out. You can listen to that if you want to listen to it. For the first time in my life, I my thoughts on sports, and Cooley knows my thoughts on sports, and I, for the most part, I detest them, and I do not like sports in any regard. I told my mom after I got done with those three broadcasts, and I kid you not, for the first time in my life, I wanted to put my uniform back on and go throw a bullpen.
I respect that.
Because it was the first time that I've been re-engaged with the game, and I feel like maybe just because I've been away from it for so long and just hearing the different scenarios and thinking of how I would react in those scenarios, something about it, there was a little flame,
a little flame
in me that was still kicking around.
You
in
always
there.
Hate baseball.
I still got 4 years of eligibility left with West Liberty, so.
No, you're good.
There you go.
If I want to go back. Speaking of, and I forgot to mention this when you brought up airlines, West Liberty, Cools, we're talking about plane flights. West Liberty is starting a new aviation program that's taking place at Ohio County Airport.
I would love to learn how to fly.
5 minutes away from my from our house.
With Marshall University.
And Hannah, she gets the, I think she's not spearheading the actual program, but promoting it.
She's teaching people how to fly.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But I genuinely, last night I had a conversation with her. I genuinely would think about, I would think about doing it.
I've thought about it. That is something I have actually thought about. And I think it would be so sick to do.
I know there's so much that can go wrong once you're in control of that and you're taking your own life in your hand, but man, that would be cool as shit. Can you imagine if I said, hey, cool, you want to go down to South Carolina for a weekend?
Just fly down.
And we hop in the plane and go fly down there.
You better have a lot of money. You better have a shit
ton
of
money. If you have your own plane, I mean,
that's the content we can make.
You
got to
pay.
Planes.
You got to pay gas and then
diesel fuel.
Is it diesel?
I think it is. Isn't that what it is?
We'll get a glider. We'll get a glider.
This podcast better step up its game before doing fucking private flights and paying for diesel fuel.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
We'll get like a little shitty Cessna, and it'd be like that. It'd be like a rickety old Russian plane.
Well, you know. We talk about airplanes and airports. Like when I used to, when the kids were young, sometimes I would take them. We'd go up to the High County Airport just for something to do. And every now and then we get lucky and there'd be a plane coming in. And a couple of times we'd see a Learjet. Well, one time there was a Learjet there and it was parked. And there was a guy there that, the captain. The
yeah.
But anyway, I talked to him and I think he was waiting on somebody. I said, where are you heading? He said, going to Youngstown. Said, oh yeah. I said, that's gotta be a quick flight. So yeah, 15 minutes. And I just, it was just like
crazy.
Like,
what's that drive?
90 minutes.
Yeah,
about 90
it's
minutes.
Unreal, right?
To drive to Youngstown, something
15
like
15 minutes.
Yeah, and it was a nice Learjet, but I thought, man, that's
unreal.
That's
convenience.
What do you think fuel? What do you think the price is to get those fueled up? Think it's a lot?
I think it'd probably be ridiculous.
You think?
I think it's
know.
No. I think it's money making money. It's got yeah. That's not just the average Joe that's jumping in a plane.
But can you imagine if you had like a little, you know, a Learjet, and you told people, hey, if you got to take a trip to somewhere, give me a little bit of money, I'll take you down wherever you need to go.
I think your dad did that one time. You have to ask him. I think back when they were with Wheeling Park football, and they I don't know if they had to go scout somewhere, and this was like for the playoffs. And I think they had a contact, like him and I don't know who else it was. Probably Mark Nardone and Dave Petrini. There might have been a fourth.
It wasn't Butch, was it?
No,
he had that plane.
I don't think it was Butch. That was pre-Butch. But I think they somehow had a contact where they were able to get like a little Cessna plane. Where they flew somewhere downstate. I don't know where they had to go. Obviously, it worked out okay. But I remember him talking about that and how scared they were.
Just because of a little plane.
It was little, and I think it was at night. It was dark.
Ooh. Yeah. Oof.
So
I wouldn't want to be on one of those.
For a small engine plane, a typical fill up might range from $50 to a few hundred dollars.
Oh man,
really?
Yeah.
On what kind of?
Oh, we're in play then.
Just a small engine, a small single engine plane.
Damn.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, I was wrong.
Why am I buying a car?
Yeah. Get a plane. Yeah, God, you can land in the backyard, Jumper, if you want. It don't matter.
Yeah. One thing I will never, ever set foot in my life is a helicopter, though. I will never get in a helicopter.
That's tough.
Never in my life get in a helicopter.
Why not?
Dude, those things are not. They remind me of something that Leonardo da Vinci came up with, and they just are not meant to get off the ground. And there's so much. There's a thing called the death curve. I think it's called that. It could be something wrong, but I could be wrong on that. But like the way it takes off, there are just too many things that go wrong with those helicopters, man. The videos you see where the fucking propeller hits the ground, explodes in a million pieces.
No.
Not for me. Maybe at I least with the plane, that. Like there's a chance of you landing that thing.
Even if
the engine goes off. Mm-hmm. You're in a helicopter and the propellers fly off of that. You go right down. Yeah. You're done.
Toilet bird.
Yeah.
Yeah, screw that. I agree.
Jeff, you did a good job today.
Well, yeah. You know what? Thanks for letting me be the moderator. The only thing I wanted to do at the beginning and that I did not, and this isn't mocking you, but I used to really, really like back in the day when you brought it in. You're like, we're back. We're back.
So all right. Hello, everyone.
Yeah. So I want to at least get that in. To Mr. Cooley, Mr. Pavlik, Mr. Delbrook, thank you all for letting me be the moderator. It's always a pleasure getting to do this with you fellas. For episode 111, peace out, party people. Peace out.